Welcome to the podcast of First Presbyterian Church of Marietta, where we are committed to changing lives with faith, hope, and love.
We are on 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is not in the book because we finished the book. So that's good news. We made it. And we've got the book really covered how the Holy Spirit shows up in the Old Testament, how the Holy Spirit shows up in the New Testament. And now these next two sessions are around how the Holy Spirit shows up now. And so this week we'll talk about spiritual gifts, 1 Corinthians 12. Next week is a more of a wrap up and a reflection of what we've learned. So let's start with 1 Corinthians 12. We'll just read verses 1 through 11.
I can read it. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were enticed and led astray to idols that could not speak. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, "Let Jesus be cursed." And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discernment of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by the one and the same Spirit who allots to each one individually just as the Spirit chooses.
Keep what Melody just read in mind, and someone else read verses, same chapter, 1 Corinthians 12, and then verses 27 to 31. We're going to compare these two.
Once the body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And in the church, God has appointed, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then workers of miracles, also having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. All are apostles? Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gifts.
So in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 through 12, we get wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discernment, tongues, interpretation. In the second list, we get apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, healing, help, guidance, or administration. We also get speaking in tongues. Just take a look at which of these gifts do you like better? Which do you, what do you think is different or the same about them?
I like faith and healing. The faith that of other people lifts me up.
Yeah, that's a good point. So some of these are, like, faith doesn't show up in both lists. Prophecy and prophets do.
In the first part, it's things or attributes. Even looking at healing, it's those who can heal. It's more people. These are the persons, and then these are the things. These are the attributes.
Yeah, that's what I noticed that too.
In Isaiah's listing of the attributes of the Spirit, when he's talking about the shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, for his roots a branch will bear fruit, the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him. Then he talks about the Spirit of wisdom, of understanding, of counsel, power, knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. And those were also attributes and things you can expect from this, from the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, I like that. I didn't make that connection, that Isaiah does talk about what mentions this list. He has his own list, gifts of the Spirit, wisdom, understanding, counsel, power, knowledge, and reverence or fear of the Lord. And you don't see in there miracles.
No.
You don't see prophecy, actually.
No, there's no speaking of tongues. There's
That's another question I didn't even think of. How, you know, does the scripture, does it shift over time, or are there just different understandings of what the Spirit offers?
In my, you know, I've got the study Bible that mm-hmm. I got for Sunday seminary, and it says under this, under Isaiah, it says, just as the Spirit of the Lord once came upon David in 1 Samuel, so it will abide on the new king, equipping him for his royal tasks.
So that must be, so maybe that's the difference, that this is the spiritual gifts needed for a king. And that's what Isaiah is.
And maybe in Corinthians, it's the spiritual gifts needed to edify and the body of Christ.
Yes. I think that's what's happening. So if we go to Ephesians chapter 4, 11 to 13, and Romans 12, 3 to 8, if y'all wanted to just want to turn to those, we don't have to read those passages entirely. But what I did was pull, there are additional lists of gifts of the Spirit in those two passages. And Ephesians has a pretty kind of similar list to what's the end of 1 Corinthians 12. We get, again, apostles, evangelists, pastors, teachers, prophets. So, again, a list of roles.
But then in Romans 2, it's prophesying, serving, teaching, encouraging, giving, leadership, and mercy.
Yeah, Ephesians starts with apostles as well. Let's see, Romans doesn't.
So there's a really an enormous list that just keeps building through from the Old Testament right through the New Testament on all these.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere I read that when you talk about prophesying, of course, I didn't write down, I just wrote down what the answer to it was. It was that in prophesying in the New Testament is more like witnessing for Christ.
So prophecy. Well, yeah, he uses, and I pulled the Greek because I was curious, not being a little bit of a nerd, but the evangelists there's a different word used. The evangelist is the one who tells good news. That's how we get you. Euangelion is the Greek behind the word for the gospel, the good news. But yeah, prophets were always pointing to how God was at work in their lives, right there in front of them, how God was going to be at work, how God had been at work. So there's overlap. It's a little bit of a different angle. Evangelists would be more like, it feels like evangelists are telling something positive. Prophets weren't always cheerful.
But the prophets of the Old Testament, who would be a prophet in the New Testament? Paul?
John the Baptist.
Two definitions of prophet. One is future telling and one is truth telling. So the future telling would be the prophecy. This is what's going to happen if you don't. And so Jonah's call was to go to Nineveh and say, God's going to destroy your town if you don't repent. And other prophets were like warning people to turn away from their evilness and turn towards God. The other function of prophets is truth telling. And you see this with Nathan when he goes to King David, and so he made this little parable up, and it was in order to try to tell the king the truth so that the king could see what he had done and fix it. But sometimes prophets are warning in a really overt way, and other times they try to point out the truth kind of in your face.
But post Jesus, you don't see those kind of prophets in the Bible.
So this is interesting, right? There is an argument that there are no more prophets because Jesus has already come. So why do we need a prophet? Well, that only holds if the prophet's point is to tell the future. But if a prophet is there to tell the truth, and Paul seems to think that there are still prophets, and those prophets are there to, maybe they're there to, again, to point out and hold people accountable. Maybe that function's still necessary in the church. I think it is. I think Paul thought it was.
So who would be a prophet today? Do we have any?
So Martin Luther King is who comes to my mind. That's a dramatic example. I'm sure that there are.
What about Billy Graham?
Billy Graham, yeah. Well, he would call himself an evangelist, probably, but.
Mm.
But yeah, to your point, is there overlap there? Yeah.
Peter Marshall?
Yeah. Yeah. Prophecy's interesting. I mean, we could point to teachers. We can point to evangelists or pastors. We can point to people who serve. This diaconia is the word for deacon. We get deacon from that. So that ministry of service, ministries of compassion. I think of the folks that visit Homebound or that they keep, well, at this point, keep in touch with the folks we have there.
Ministers.
Mm-hmm. Madison. Yeah.
Which is compassion.
So yeah, there's a huge list, and I went on and saw, because I found this list off of Lifeway. Has like a nice PDF with scripture reference. You know, they've got it all organized, but they have a list of spiritual gifts that I had linked to a couple of weeks ago, and their list has 16 different spiritual gifts, and I highlighted the ones that were already. They kind of took all of these lists and stuck them together. Now, faith is that should count. Hospitality is the one I didn't see anywhere here. I saw it on Lifeway's list. I couldn't find it anywhere else. I don't disagree. I think there are folks that do have a gift of hospitality, or at least a gift of welcome. But there's a, but this is, again, this is the list we have. And as we see, every time it shows up, there's a different list. In some cases it adds something. Sometimes it changes a little bit, a new angle on what was there.
You know, I think one of the two, actually, that may come easier to the common person would be service and giving. Because, when we give not just our tithes, but a lot of times, we give these little things here, there, that may not look like much to us, but to somebody else is a big thing. It's like when you go to a hotel and you pick up all the soaps and the shampoos and stuff like that, and you drop them in the must bin, it's not much, but to the person receiving that, that's a big gift, a big thing to them, and it touches them. So in picking all that stuff up, because you figure, well, I paid for it anyways, it's an act of service. And we do these things. So I think those are probably more common service and giving than some of the others. I mean, not everybody is a leader. Not everybody's good at administration or teaching. Lord knows I'm not a prophet.
Not everyone's good at compassion either. That, on the flip side. Yeah, so that leads us, at least the last two questions I had, which was, what is the point? I think, Melody, you already answered this. Like the point of these gifts, if we go back and we were to read 1 Corinthians 12, it comes right before 1 Corinthians 13, which is the love chapter that is in every wedding. Love is patient, love is kind, etc. And that order, Paul keeps that order in Ephesians chapter 4 and in Romans chapter 12, where he talks about spiritual gifts. He talks about being united in the body of Christ. And then he talks about love. Like every time when he talks about spiritual gifts, he doesn't start with love everyone. He starts with these are the gifts. And then he says, and this is how you are to exercise them. You should be exercising them as part of a body. You should be exercising them out of love. And that seems to be his purpose. What is the purpose? Well, it's in order to be part of this church, this congregation, and it's also in order to exercise love and be known by your love. What have y'all witnessed? Like, are there, I don't know, what spiritual gifts do you feel you have, or has anyone told you you have? Like, how do you foster those?
You know, I can tick off the ones I'm not. A whole lot easier than ticking off the ones I am.
I don't know what mine are. I never have known what mine are.
Amen, Judy.
Me too. And nobody's told me that I have any either.
Well, I'll say, Judy, I think you are congregational care. Like, I don't know what gift might be compassion. It might
I don't know about that.
But Judy, you have the gift of serving. You have served this congregation from before we came, because, I mean, and in doing so, you've given of yourself. And, you know, you have helped.
Y'all are giving me too much credit. I know that.
No, I'm not. No.
Well, you're very kind. Thank you.
Well, that's something people don't usually accuse me of.
What do you think, Melody? You're being quiet. Has anyone ever accused you of having a spiritual gift?
Oh, not really. I sometimes think, though, that maybe it's... I actually didn't realize until we did this that gifts and, you know, giving was considered a spiritual gift. And... you know, they talk about love languages, you know, what's your love language? And actually my love language is giving. It wouldn't be Christmas if I didn't give somebody presents. I feel like I want to share whatever I have with somebody. Sometimes I have more, sometimes I have less, but I always seems like I want to share it with people. So maybe that's it.
And in the same way, you inspire other people. And you can see when somebody's in that, they're resonating with whatever that gift is, it inspires other people around them. Well, this is something to think about. And I think it's easy. I have the same thing where I can think of all the gifts I'm sure I don't have, because people have told me, or it's become really obvious. But sometimes it's not as obvious what gifts you do have. I know, and sometimes you don't know until you try. So the example I always think of with this is Amy Bush, who Linda Bush's daughter, who was on staff at the church for a while. She's part-time now, but she picked up over the summer, helping with this food bank project that we were running on Mondays. And then a lot of different things happened. And now she's in charge of it. She's been in charge of it for a few months. And I remember right before she wanted to raise her hand and tell, because Jesse was our youth director was leaving and we didn't have anyone to take it over. And Amy said, look, I really, really want to do this. Like, I like want to take this on. And it was something in that conversation. I could just tell, like, it was what she needed to be doing. It fit what her gifts were. I mean, everything was kind of came together. I always think of calling and gift, you know, spiritual gifts. Sometimes you don't even know what you got until you try something that you may not even think you're good at. And then you realize, oh, wait, this is something. I'm onto something here. So.
Sometimes you just have to sit back, like with a list, like you put up for us. Sit back and look at it. And here we go. Discernment, one of the gifts. discern if you know where God has given every one of us gifts. Mm-hmm. Through the Spirit, through Jesus, we have gifts. Sometimes we don't use them as well as we should, but we have them. You know, I think people who serve, but specifically with deacons, I think it's a time where you, because you've been elected to serve the congregation, you have to do some self-assessment as to what can I offer? What, you know, and you find, you have to look for your gifts so that you can serve and serve well and serve with your heart. You know, I know for Bill and I know for myself, those were times of a lot of self-assessment as to what you can do, which is, I think everybody at some point in time in their life should serve as a deacon to the church. I really believe that.
Harriet, you might be an evangelist. We're going to stick you on the recruitment committee for the deacon.
I don't think so.
What do they call nominating committee? That's what they're called. Well, and sometimes you feel like, oh, well, I need to have a gift of all these things at once, when really you don't. And there are people that, you know, there are people that can feel the bumps in your head all over the place. So that's always what's really, I think that's lovely about the church, when you see a group of people working together, recognizing, well, this is the person that's good at compassion, and this is the person that's going to keep us organized and make that spreadsheet, and this is the person that's going to do X, Y, and Z. And that's, it's just really powerful when that happens. Well, let's close in prayer. Breathe in God's mercies. Breathe out God's mercies to others. Breathe in God's mercies. Breathe out God's mercies to others. Lord, open our eyes so that we can see what gifts you are planting in our hearts. Show us how we can use those gifts for the building up of your people. Amen.
This podcast is a ministry of First Presbyterian Church of Marietta. Come join us Sundays at 189 Church Street, Marietta, Georgia, or visit us online at fpcmarietta.org.
Bye, Wanda.
Bye-bye. Good to see y'all.